Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, once again, everybody, welcome to this latest edition of Gun on One, the podcast. Well, the Eagles are coming out of their bye. They're still undefeated and the kings of the NFL until further notice. But the way they're playing right now, I don't know if or when they're going to lose a game when you look at their schedule. For this edition of Gun on One, I brought in a guy who is extremely busy. You know him. You love him. He's a Hall of Famer. He is not just one of the best to ever play the game. He is also one of the best human beings you ever wanted to encounter. The Hall of Famer himself, Brian Dawkins, is this week's addition to Gun on One.
This is Sal Palantonio from ESPN.
I'm Brandon Graham.
Lane Johnson here.
This is the magnificent DJ Jazzy Jeff.
This is Donovan McNabb.
This is Chris Long.
This is Mark Zumoff, the TV voice of the 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
It's Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski.
Hello, I'm Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova basketball.
Hey, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're listening to the Gun on One podcast.
And what's happening? This is your blessed boy, Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, and you're locked in to Gun on One.
You are locked in to the Gun on One.
Gun on One.
Gun on One.
You are locked on to Gun on One.
I've been on the air for 25 years, but I could not wait to be on Gun on One with my man, Derek Gump.
ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi telling you to stay locked on to Gun on One. It is a number one seed.
Hey, once again, welcome back to this edition of Gun on One, everybody. It is powered by the Jacob Sports Media YouTube machine. I'm Derek Gunn. My guest tonight is always one of my special guests. 16-year NFL career, 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro, and to put the emphatic signature on his illustrious football career, his legendary career will forever be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That man right there still looks like he can knock a few people out in the secondary, the one and only Brian Dawkins. What's up, B-Dawk?
Absolutely blessed. It would have to be short yardage and goal line. We good. Short yardage, goal line, we good.
Hey, don't take this personal, but right now, you seem like you built more like a linebacker than a safety, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the crazy thing about it, D, I'm not going to get too much and too far into this because I know we got some other stuff to talk about. Yeah. But to be honest with you, this is how I saw myself when I played. So what? The physique that you see right now, this is how I saw myself in my mind's eye when I played.
Well, what happened?
What happened? First of all, I couldn't bulk up like this if I was going to play safety. I had to stay where I was, and I couldn't even if I tried because of how much I tried. I couldn't back then. But again, in my mind, I was big. I was at least 230 playing in football in my mind.
You know what that physique right now tells me? A combination of two things: retirement and good eating is the reason why you swole up. Would that be an accurate assessment?
Well, retirement, good eating, obviously, with my beautiful wife, Connie, you know, doing what she does in the house. But also, it's an active lifestyle, too. But I stay at it. I stay lifting. I stay working out. It's not something that I do for a living as far as playing football anymore. It's what I do for a living. It's a part of my living. It's me exercising. So, yeah, I still get after it.
Hey, dog, I lift, too. I lift a chicken leg. I lift a plate of spaghetti.
You lift the fishing pole back and forth. You know what I mean?
That's it. A grill spatula. That's about all lifting up to it, man. Well, hey, look, man, your Eagles, king of the hill right now, undefeated in the NFL. I know you watch all their games from afar. Give me your best estimate as to why you think this particular team is where it is right now.
Well, you know me. You've talked to me enough. Yeah. You know pretty much where I'm going to go, to be honest with you. I believe that when you go through tough things, you can have tough conversations. You can be real with one another. and you come out the other side of it bonded. For those who were with the Eagles last year, who went through that tough stretch in the beginning, the embarrassment, they changed things around to go and put on some, you know, some wins together, changes some philosophies and all of those things, right? They get into the playoffs. It was an embarrassing outing, if I might say so. And so you have more tough conversations going into the offseason about who are we going to be going forward. And you see that they have not changed their mind when it comes to running the football, which I love, even though they have all of those weapons around that young quarterback. They trust in him more, but not just that. They went on the defensive side of the ball and brought in some playmakers, guys who can take the ball away, guys who can stop the run, yes, but I'm talking about guys who are playmakers. You have a whole bunch of chess pieces on the defensive side of the ball, in my opinion, that have been lacking for a long time in Philadelphia. So now you have a defense that's once again feared, and I love that. And the thing about me, I just didn't know how quick they would gel. The new people coming in, the new guys coming into the culture. So they've built the culture that quick, this early in the season. And for me, I still like adversity, though. I still want them to see as much adversity as possible. And they have Jacksonville game, other games, even in the beginning, you know, with Detroit giving up all those points, and they changed a bunch of things around. So I love to see guys and teams go through that adversity, because that tells you who you really are. Not the victories, but it's in those tough moments in the games. Who can I turn to? Can I trust my teammate to be where he's supposed to be? Can I watch film after a win and tell this guy, you need to do this better? And he goes out and does it. He doesn't take for us to lose to have those tough conversations. So I love the maturity of a team that can win games, have tough things happen during the game, and get better because of critiques by the coaching staff that help them be better the next week. And you see this team doing it.
Doc, anytime you have a team that has this kind of success, there's always a wow factor involved. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about this young man, Jalen Hurts, who has been a wow factor every week. Each week he has found different ways to win, whether it's with his arm or his legs. I think his maturity level, and not just as a young man, but as an athlete, has increased significantly compared to what he was a year ago. And to be honest, and I've said this on a number of platforms, in comparison to where I thought it would be at this level of his career, he is that wow factor with his team right now.
He is. He is. And we've had this conversation before. We talked about him. And I told you even back then, when a whole bunch of questions were around him, I'm not saying he was doing the best when it comes to throwing a deep ball. I wasn't saying he wasn't making the best of decisions early on, but I kept telling people he was still a rookie. Oh, I don't want to hear it. He's been in the no. He was still a rookie. And then he has a new offensive coordinator bringing in new things for him to learn. So obviously he's not going to make the right reads. Obviously he's not going to, have the accuracy where it needs to be, the anticipatory throws like he's having now. Now you have a young man that knows the offense. The offensive coordinator knows what he can and cannot do, right? They're on the same page. But not only that, now the game has slowed down for him. So now he can begin to manipulate defenses, do things with his moves. You see him making moves, putting people to sleep, and then getting around the outside and anticipating getting outside to throw the football, not just run it. But I said this a while back. You have a young man that has been through so much adversity in his young football career, going from Alabama to getting a job, losing the job, then having to go to another place. And even when he lost the job, never spoke out, never did anything to bring any type of embarrassment to him or the organization or his family, right? He just sucked it up, came in, spelled and came in to win a national championship, went to another school, got better, right? Came second in the Heisman, and then constant talks about what he can't do, and he constantly finds a way to get better. So you have a fighting mentality, a guy who takes responsibility for the things that he can get better, gets better, and constantly improves. And you listen to the guys in the locker room, even before this year, how mature he was at a young age. Again, I just thought that he's a young man that was fit for Philly because of the tough things that he's had to overcome and how he's overcome them in his early career.
All right, I want to put this in your wheelhouse. If you were still playing or coaching in this game today, how would you try to defend a Jalen Hurts?
Wow. Well, I wouldn't play a lot of man-to-man, obviously. Like you want to keep your eyes on him as much as possible. I would mix things up. Sometimes you would use a spy, but I really want him to see if he can beat me from the pocket, right? Push the pocket, but you still have to have someone to be able to collect him when he steps up into the pocket to scramble and run. And then from a hitting standpoint, I'm not going to give you my secrets. I can only tell these secrets to a certain amount of group of people. But there's certain ways that you hit quarterbacks.
You mean I'm not in that fraternity?
Yeah. There's certain ways that you can, you know, that you hit quarterbacks who want to run the football and actually duck on you to. It's a certain way that you tackle them. I'll just say it like that. That I would then share with those individuals who I would be coaching.
Oh my goodness, man. All right, you look at this defense overall. It is one of the more opportunistic defenses in all the NFL. It has generated 14 takeaways, which is equal to what Baltimore has right now. When you play for an opportunistic defense like that, Doc, is it more of an overall mindset from start to finish, or is there some luck involved as well?
Now, I don't believe in luck. I believe opportunity meets preparation, right? So when your opportunity presents itself, you make that play. And game film, you fit studying film and anticipating things that other teams do, and it puts you in position to make plays, and you make those plays. Practice it on jugs when you were secondary because you can have any given moment, you know that the ball could fly your way, and you have to be able to hold on to that thing. So you prepare to have those opportunities. So I don't believe in luck. But I do believe that it is a mentality, though. Like you talk about, I can guarantee they talk about it. I can guarantee, Matt, they may even have like not a ritual, but a competition in the different rooms. Or who can do the what, right? Because it's a friendly a competition of who's going to be able to get the turnover, who's going to be the person to get the most sacks, all of those things. It's a healthy thing for a team to have that. I know we did anyway. But I just know that I can just feel that this team is hungry. They're very hungry. They're prepared. They know what they can do. And they expect to be the person to make the play. And that's the thing I love about it. It's not just – you're no longer just depending on one person to be the focal point of the game planning for a team. Now you have multiple individuals that can move around to do things. You have both corners playing outstanding. And that's what I'm used to having, two corners that can ball, right?
Yep.
You know, starting all the way back with Troy and Bobby. I had Al Harris, so, you know, and obviously going to Lido and Sheldon down the road. So I've always had cornerbacks that can cover, not just cover, but make plays on the ball. But when you have so many playmakers, digressing, when you have so many playmakers around the football, up front you have beats, you have a great rotation, you have linebackers that are making plays on the ball. Oh my goodness, I love that, right?
Then
the secondary are doing their thing. So there's not a level of this defense that you can say that this is a weak area, and I love that.
When you talk about the corner play, would you play James Bradberry and Darius Slay even in more press coverage? Sometimes I think they play off receivers a little bit too much, but because of their individual athleticism, and like you said, you played with Troy and Bobby and Lino and Sheldon, would you play more press coverage with these type of corners?
I was in looking at film. If you have watched film over the years, it's hard for you to make interceptions pressing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Most time is from sitting off, backpedaling, clueing, and then jumping routes. So from that perspective, I can understand why they would want to sit off to see the quarterback, see the receiver, anticipate routes from that. But because they can do the bump and run, both of them are excellent at doing that. Obviously, I would like them to be more physical. But again, I'm cool with them moving back and forth and not just always doing one thing, because once again, they can take the ball away. And there was a rep that Slay had, I think, in the fourth quarter, that he stayed in his back pedal. He weaves just a little bit and broke on an out route. I forgot who the receiver was and broke it up. And I'm just looking like, wow, when you can stay in your back pedal as a defensive back, that means that you don't believe that this receiver can run past me. And anytime that you have cornerbacks that feel that way and can play the ball in the air like both of them can do, once again, that's why I would give them as much leeway to be able to do those things, because I know that they're going to have more success than not by doing it that way.
Hey, we haven't seen a linebacking core like this since the days of Trott and Carlos Simmons and those guys. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again,
you can look at you salivating over there.
I just, because for the longest time, that's not been a position that I don't think that the Eagles took high about. They just think you can just put somebody there who, as long as he's able to call the defense, that he'll be fine. No, when you have playmakers on every level of the field, that now you are now shortening the opportunities for the offense to be able to have success. Mm-hmm. So now you have playmakers on every level of this defense, and when you have that, it's just like for a competitor like myself, mm-hmm. when I saw Trott balling, guess what I wanted to do?
Mm-hmm.
I got to get mine. When I saw Troy doing his thing, guess what? It's my turn, right? So again, that revs up your engine to want to do more. So again, the more of those individuals that are hunting like that on the field together, smelling blood together, right? Yeah. Now you have more guys being able to do it. But if you think that this position is not as important as that one, so I'm just going to stick a guy there, then you defeat what they have now. I'll say it like that. You defeat what they have now.
How would you define Jonathan Gannon's style of defense? Is it a defense that you're okay with, or defense when you sit back and watch the game as a fan, you're constantly analyzing, wait, why are we not doing this? Why are we not doing that?
I'm not constantly analyzing him anymore. Okay. Last year, I can't say that. And obviously, like the first 7 games, I was about to – what little hair I guess the only hair I got to pull out now is here. I was about to pull out my beard because they were so passive and giving up so many yards, right? Now it's different, and I know a lot of that has to do with the defensive front. You have a defensive line that they don't necessarily have to blitz a whole lot in order to get pressure. I understand that, but for me, the way that I was blessed to play the game, I would be so bored in this defense if I'm not – let me blitz a little bit. You know, throw me a bone every once in a while. So, to me, that's the next step in this. The defensive line can get pressure. You know you can always do that at any time. But to allow the secondary to throw some more wrenches – throw some more bullets, excuse me, into the chamber to be able to allow other guys to have some fun, but also to throw another notch or another thing for the opposing offense to have to game plan. I don't necessarily just have to game plan for these front 4 or 5 guys. Now I got to game plan against the whole defense because this cat is sending everybody at any given time.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because when you look at better defenses across the league year in and year out, they have a certain identity about them. You know what you're going to expect from them. You can go back to the Steel Curtain, to the Doomsday defense, the 49ers of the 90s. Your defense, when you guys were in your heyday, you knew what the identity was. But with this defense, the identity changes week to week. And for whatever reason, it's worked across the board for them.
And a lot of that has to do with the front. Like when you can rotate the type of players that he has now at his disposal to be able to rotate in that front and keep those big boys up front fresh, rushing hard and stopping the run. I obviously didn't do a better job of doing that sometimes, stopping the run. But when you have that, then you're able to move things and change things around. Again, for me, I'm just a pressure guy. That's how I've been bred as far as playing in the National Football League with Jim all those years. So I just know what that does to the opposing team when you can send guys from any given direction to be able to get pressure and break down protections.
I hate to say this because I don't want to jinx this team, but when you look at their schedule, they have one of the weaker schedules in the NFL. Is it possible this team could go a perfect 17-0?
How many games have they won right now?
Six.
I want them to be 7-0.
Okay.
I want them to be 7-0.
Okay.
And if they go 7-0, I want them to be 8-0.
Okay.
I'm not looking, and my mindset goes back to me as a player, right? The fans we can look at, and I can put myself in my fan, put my fan hat on now. I can look at as a fan, okay, all of these games. But as a player, you take one game at a time. If you begin to look at all of these other things that everybody else is talking about, you forget about what got you to where you are. And what got you to where you are is you looking at this next opponent as the opponent that can beat you if you don't do my job. If I don't do my job, if I'm not where I'm supposed to be, if I'm not studying, if I'm not in condition, if I'm not doing everything that I need to do for this next opponent, then we can lose this game. So they need to focus on the next opponent week in and week out. And if you do that, they might have a chance to be the last team standing and then have that goose egg right next to it.
Are you surprised at how mediocre the teams have been across the league this year? I mean, teams like the Rams, the 49ers, Green Bay, the Raiders, Broncos are all down. Are you surprised how mediocre it's been across the league?
The Rams, yes. They lost so much.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like you can't continue to just lose, and they won. Mm-hmm. So one of the things when it comes to going to as many NFC championship games and having that success, it's hard, especially when you win it. When you win it, and teams who have won it will tell you this, to keep guys as dialed in and as hungry for that next season is extremely difficult. And you're going to be getting the absolute best from those teams that are going to be playing you that next year. So I kind of figured that they would struggle, not to the place that they are now, but losing, Von Miller is no longer there. So because they paid guys, and now some of the guys that were helping them last year are no longer there because they couldn't pay them. So that's one thing. But as far as the parity, some of the teams are surprised. Green Bay, you cannot let possibly one of the top three receivers in the game go and expect to have the same success.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you say. Unless they knew that someone in that building was a potential version of him when he was young, because, when he was younger, the thing coming out of camp was this young man. Well, oh, my goodness. He's electric getting off the line of scrimmage. People can't handle him, right? Unless you can see that and you know that in-house, I don't see how you then break up and let him go to the Raiders and leave Aaron Rodgers there like he's a rookie quarterback running the ball all, every down. So I just don't see how you do that.
Yeah, I have to ask you this because I've heard it so much over the past several weeks. Are we watching bad football across the league this year? Inferior football?
Honestly, I'm not watching around the league.
Okay. All right.
So I'm not. I mean, I watch – you mentioned a couple of teams that I will watch from time to time. Obviously, the Eagles, I'm keeping up with them. I will watch the Broncos, and keeping up with them. But I'm not necessarily just making sure that I tune into every game and watching all of the different nuances that's happening around the league. So I will let you know that I don't know that answer to that question you just asked, because I don't watch it like that.
All right, that's a politically correct answer. I'll let you slide on that one. There's five teams that are above 500 in the NFC. And I'm going to hone in on two of them real quick, if you will. Let's start with the Giants. I mean, this is a team that has already won more games than it did a year ago. They don't have a star-studded roster. But let's start on the offensive side. Brian Daboll, we saw what he did with that offense in Buffalo. And I think he has done an incredible job getting the most out of Daniel Jones in terms of utilizing his athleticism, yet minimizing his mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, I know you want to start off with the quarterback, and I get it. It's a quarterback-driven league and all that stuff. But that dude in the backfield is back.
Yes.
That dude that he can hand the ball to, like any given time, he just turn around and hand it to that dude, he's back. Like the injuries are no longer there. He can jump. I mean, oh my goodness. I watched this past Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. He was basically stopped dead in the backfield. He did 2-3 jump cuts and gained about 25 yards on a play that should have been a 5-yard loss. The dude is back. And he's top five in rushing, top five in receiving, top five in all-purpose yards this year already. Like, the dude is back. So, again, I know it's a quarterback-driven league, but listen, that dude in the backfield is back. So when you have that dude doing what he can do, then the quarterback's job is that much easier. The offensive lineman's job is that much easier. So give the training staff a lot of credit for bringing him back as slow as they did this time around. The dude is back.
I couldn't agree with you more. All right, on the other side of the football, a guy you're familiar with, Wink Martindale. You played for 1 year in Denver. I knew you were going to say that. When you look at his defensive concepts with this team, and again, there are not a lot of star players on that defense. Do you see a lot of similarities what he's running now compared to what he ran when he was a coordinator in Denver?
Yeah. See, the thing about it in Denver is he couldn't do all the things that we had because that wasn't Josh McDaniels' way of doing things. He was more of a zone but Wink. Like, we had so many, and I keep saying bullets in the chamber. I need to stop saying that. But we had so many things that we could run, and we were so excited every week to go out to see what we can do, but we just couldn't run them all. You saw in Baltimore when they were doing their thing again for many years. I'm talking about when Wink was there. It was the same thing, very aggressive. And it's a team that studies – and he knows the knack for taking the ball away. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Like, his defense is, we take the ball away. And so that's what you're seeing with the Giants right now. And it's a philosophy. It's a belief. When you have an aggressive coach like he is, he's a very positive reinforcement type of coach as well. But he expects a lot out of you. And he gives you trust. Like, he trusts you to get the job done, to improvise, but get the job done. So that creativity for a player, like, that opens you up to just want to play for this dude. Like, and that's the thing about it. Wink is the type of coach that, like, let's go do this thing so we can make sure that Wink gets credit for the type of coach that he is and person that he is. So and you're seeing that, like, after the game, the camaraderie, him and the head coach, and, you know, giving each other hugs and daps, like, that's that bond that I'm talking about.
It seems like you're very fond of him, and you enjoyed playing for him.
I did.
Yeah.
I was so angry when he left, to be honest with you. So angry that they didn't bring him back.
All right, let's go down to the Southwest to that team that every Eagles fan hates the most, the Dallas Cowboys. When I look at their defensive front, Doc, and I've said this, I don't think there's a team in the NFL right now that gets off the ball faster than that defensive front. They lead the league in quarterback sacks with 29, and they have a rotation of 7 or 8 guys. How surprised are you at the way that defense has been balled? Statistically, they're in the top 10 in overall defense and the top 6 in points allowed. But, you know, so it's not like they're a shutdown defense, but they make things happen with their personnel.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, love the fact that you're talking about the whole defense.
Yes.
I love it. I love that you're talking about the whole defensive line. But they have a young, grown man.
Oh, my goodness.
That is unbelievable, man. Like, the things that he can do with his speed, he reminds me a little bit more athletic, but he reminds me of Von Miller when I got to Denver. Same type of phenomenon. Young cat, versatile, can run, explosive off the ball, but then can chase you down if he need to, but he has the power to bull rush. It's like he has every move, and it's hard to block him one-on-one.
Right.
So when you have that individual that's being able to be moved around the line, now you have one-on-ones everywhere else. So DeMarcus Lawrence, DeMarcus Lawrence, like he's going to get more one-on-ones because you have this dude and you might need to double team him too. So now it's who do you double team? But you know you can't leave that dude one-on-one with anybody for too long, except when he plays the Eagles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just for the conversation. Because we have a grown man out there, you know, Lane Johnson on the outside, and I love that. But
it shuts him down.
But give them credit for finding him and then having the defensive coordinator that utilizes him the way that he does. And he's doing a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. And you have another coach in Dallas, defensive coordinator, that knows how to teach culture. He knows how to say he went from Seattle, same type of aggressive culture, went to Atlanta, same type of defensive culture. Now he's back. Now he's in Dallas, and it's the same type of defensive culture when it comes to aggression.
I want to get away from football for just a moment, and I have to ask you your thoughts on the Phillies and what they've been able to accomplish when everybody didn't think they would come close to this. Now they're four wins away from possibly winning a World Series.
Wow. Wow. I mean, was absolutely counted out. Lose your coach, and I get it. I'm not saying that you know I probably wasn't in the conversation. Yeah, this is not a good year for them. You know, maybe hopefully next year they'll have a chance to do some things. But you let your coach go and kind of mid-season, right? But then all of a sudden, a spark was lit. A togetherness happened. I don't know how what happened. What conversations were had?
Yeah.
I know in some of the times that we. With the Eagles went through some tough spells, we would have sometimes those private team meetings, and we would talk about some of the things we needed to get done and hold one another accountable and go on some runs. But you see a team that they took it, and the electricity, the energy that you see being displayed on the field, it truly reminded me of watching the game, watching the series. When, you know, back in the day with the Phillies, back in the day with, you know, J. Roll and those cats from that era. So that reminded me of this team, but I'm so proud. And I know that they're excited to be in it with the opportunity. The job is yet to be done. Right. Still got some things to do, but like, I'm just so happy for them. Yes. But also the city of Philadelphia. Like, I'm so excited for all the electricity that's happening back in Philadelphia.
Will you try to sneak into town and maybe see a game before it's all said and done?
No, I'm just, yeah, you got to, come on, man. Get on blast, man. You know, I try to get in and get out, man. Keep it on the hush.
You're like a mercenary, get in and get out before they knew you were there?
Get out, brother.
I know the majority of your time is consumed, and rightfully so, by the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation. And I'm so blessed and honored to be a small part of what you're doing. Give me an update on where it is right now in terms of serving youth in both Philly and Jacksonville, families and the communities.
Yeah, we did the Caring People's Alliance there in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And during the summer, we did some things where we blessed some single parents, the children in those homes, to be able to do some summer camp things, whether it be science camps, whether it be athletic camps. And so we're doing that same thing for the school year to pay for specific families to have, so that young person could, whether it be tutoring, whether it be we need cerebral wellness from somebody from some of the things they're going through, some athletic things, whatever they're needing, we're going to pay for that young person to be able to be to go to a place that the parent does not have to worry about the young person, that they know they're going to be good. And that's what the foundation, we're going to pay for those things. But also I'm extremely excited about the Young Ambassadors program that we started the inaugural year at George Washington High School there in Philadelphia. Like, I'm so excited about that, to empower those young people with some of the resources, the tools, and the mindset, to be able to handle the things that life throws at you, giving them some of the playbooks and some of the repertoire to be able to handle life situations, circumstances, but also how to reach back and help out the young people, 11th graders helping out 10th and 9th graders, mm-hmm. you know, through some of the things that they have to grow through when it comes to life living where they live at. So I'm extremely excited about this first year of that happening in George Washington High School. But, and we have some other things going on mm-hmm. with the foundation, the second annual Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation golf tournament, Brian, yep. Will be May the 1st and 2nd of next year. We're already planning those things, obviously. But it's such a blessing to be able to be used to bless people, to help people, and mm-hmm. to give them the understanding that there is someone that cares about them, and not just care about them, that we're going to give resources and things to these individuals, to these families, to help them out of the situations they find themselves in.
When you look at the foundation overall, I mean, it's still a young foundation. And anytime you put together a foundation like this, obviously you lay out a blueprint, you set yourself goals for it. Have your goals to this stage exceeded your expectation, right where you thought they would be? Or maybe the learning curve was a little bit more than what you might have anticipated.
Well, the last one, the learning curve was great. It was major.
Okay.
We're going to have 20 schools right now this year, 20 high schools that we're going to be doing the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation cerebral wellness training. When it comes to breaking down the stigma with mental health, giving them some of the coping mechanisms that they can utilize to help in those situations, how to find help, how to know if you need help, and then how to help yourself and your friend get help when you need it. We're going to have that in 7 schools in Jacksonville and the rest in Philadelphia. But we're going to also start this year with some financial literacy courses in Philadelphia in about 5 schools. So yes, we're extremely excited about mm-hmm. that. But in my mind, I thought we would have some at least one learning center by now up and running. So that's in the brain works of how to get those things started, how to get some of these career and learning centers going.
Doc, it's easy for all of us to sit back and look at statistics. We all look at statistics, no matter what they may be. When you look at these stats of where young society is in America today, it's shocking in a lot of ways in terms of lack of home guidance, the illiteracy in our society today. The hurt and the pain and the anguish young people go through today is more devastating than any other time that I can think of. It's one thing to read about those stats, but having the ability, as you have, to get in the trenches and to not just look at the situation, survey the situation, but to have verbal conversations with people. How eye-opening was this for you?
It's very eye-opening. And when you get a chance to kind of not just from an outsider looking in, but to kind of walk down the hallways, got a chance mm-hmm. to go a couple of times to George Washington, kind of walk down the hallways and kind of listen to some of the things that some of those young people are talking when I get a chance to sit down and talk mm-hmm. with them. Some of the plights that they have is not even close to what we grew up having, right? So the pressure that they have, especially with having these things here around us 24 hours a day,
oh, yes.
you always have something pulling at your attention. To help them navigate the spaces that they find themselves in. And that's where the programs come in. That's where the cerebral wellness program mm-hmm. comes in, to help them manage those emotions that aren't going anywhere. Our emotions are never going away. And that's a good thing. Emotions are actually good things, right? Mm-hmm. Managing the ups and downs of life is something that we all can do a better job of doing. And so presenting the things that I have done in my life through growing through some of the things that I had to grow through, I even give those things to some of these individuals that I talk to. And they're like, wow, you went through that? Yes, I went through some of that stuff as well. So now you don't feel like you're the only person going through something like that mm-hmm. at that young age. I'm talking about when I was their age,
right.
Some of the things that I saw, some of the trauma that I saw in my neighborhood with gunshots, some of my friends getting shot up and stuff like that. So I've seen some of those things. So learning how to deal with those things, learning that it's okay not to be okay, first of all, like it's, mm-hmm. it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. because there's help out there and there's people that are willing to step into your situation with you to help carry the burden just a little bit, right? If you tell me what's going on with you, I can carry the burden just a little bit so you won't be carrying the whole burden by yourself, right? And then at some point, we both pray about it and give the burden away. So that's how I talk about it with them. And so for them to sit, you know, bright-eyed listening to the things that are coming out of my mouth, I want to let them know that I'm saying this because I love you. And I know that there's greatness inside of you. And I know that there's something that you could potentially go on to help individuals who are going through some of the things you're going through right now. Some of these young people that you're going to be reaching out to, talking about some of the older kids in there.
Yep.
You will be able to reach back and have conversations with 9th and 10th graders. And they're probably going to listen to you more than they listen to me, this old dude. I'm not old. They call me old. I'm not old, but they'll call me old.
You're an OG now, man.
Yes, yeah, so I'm an OG, but that's not old. That's not an old. That's not an old G. It's just OG, right?
No, I'm the old G.
but it's very empowering. It's humbling for me, first of all, but it's empowering that I get a chance to reach back and pour the wisdom that I've gained over my 49 years to be able to pour back into these young people.
Doc, if people, organizations, corporations wanted to donate to the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation, how can they go about it?
BrianDawkins.com.
Okay.
BrianDawkins.com is a donate button right there. And also you can read up on what are the things that we're talking about doing. I believe we still have my template up there as well. Some of the things that we're looking to do over the years, like I talked a little bit about the learning centers and the learning and your learning centers and the learning. When I say learning centers, I'm not just talking about for kids. I'm talking about learning centers for kids and adults to be able to learn some things that you would want to get better at if you're trying to be a mechanic and things of that nature. That's the type of facilities I'm talking about building at some point.
My man, you are one of a kind. And I know you are all over the place and people are pulling you in 20,000 different directions, but I thank you for giving me some valuable minutes on this edition of Gun on One as always, man.
Thank you, brother. Be blessed.
You too, my man. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of Gun on One, the podcast for my man, my friend, and Hall of Famer, Brian Dawkins. I'm Derek Gunn. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, we are powered by the Jacob Sports Media YouTube machine. For all of us here at Jacob Media, I'm Derek Gunn. Stay blessed, but more importantly, as I tell you each and every week, extend yourselves and be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.